Amen. Amen. Let's get our Bibles out, and I will get mine out too. That will be good. And we're going to go tonight and finish what we started last Thursday night. And the fact that we need power if we're going to have the right evangelism. And we said this last, you can turn to Acts chapter 4. We said this last week that we cannot win souls without the power of God upon our life. And the Lord gave the commission to the church. But even after he gave the commission, he told them to wait there in Jerusalem until they received the power. And we know that the Lord did that and empowered them. And we also know that that was necessary for them to fulfill the Great Commission, and it's still necessary for us to fulfill the Great Commission. We must have the power of God in our life. We also are warned by Paul in the book of 2 Timothy that in the last days there'll be a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And so we're warned that in these last days there'll be a lot of religion, the power of God won't be working. And I don't think it takes much to see that that is, I don't know if prevalence is the right word, but that's seen in today's world. Just a whole lot of things that have a title of religion on it. See, how do you know when the power of God's at work? Because souls will be saved, lives will be changed, God will be glorified, holiness will be exemplified when the power of God is working. And so to have the power of God, we lay down first three. Number one, there must be the power of the Word of God. Number two, there must be the power of the gospel. Again, without the Word of God, we don't have a message. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Then there must be the power of the Holy Spirit. It is essential to the saving of a soul that the Holy Spirit be at work. He does the work of conversion of a sinner. And that brings us to number four, and we'll start here in Acts chapter number four. Let's read verse number 29 in Acts chapter 4. It says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." Verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Verse number 33, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." So we see our fourth necessity for the power of God. Number four is the power of prayer. The power of prayer. We must pray for souls to be saved. If we don't have any names that we're calling out to God and people, there should be people that we're praying for each and every day to be saved. I encourage everybody to have a prayer list, and I don't necessarily think every day that you have to bring that out and go down a list. And I think it's nice, and I have one that I do that most often. But there should be names that you every day call out to God. I've got some that I call out every day to the Lord. I pray every day for my wife's cousin, Shelly, to be saved. There are some ladies in our church, their husbands aren't saved, and I pray every day by name for those men to be saved. I pray for, still, Brother Headley made me promise before he passed away that I'd pray for his grandson, Josh, every day that he gets saved, and I do. There's other names I pray for every day. Because I've learned this, that the more you pray for these people to be saved, the more your heart is tender to reaching other people. So pray every day. Have a list, have people you're praying for. I hope that, if we opened up, we won't, but if we opened up and said, all right, let's all go around the room and share the names of some of those that we're praying for every day to be saved, that there would be people that you could share tonight. Should be. We should pray for specific people to be saved. In this passage of scripture that we read in verse number 29, you you see their request in verse number 29. They prayed that they would have boldness to speak the word of God. They prayed for boldness. And verse number 31, you see the response to their prayers. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. It's a simple question. Do you think you'd have solved verse 31 if you wouldn't have had verse 29? I don't think so. They prayed specifically for boldness in proclaiming the word of God, and God, when they prayed, there was a moving, there was a manifestation of the Spirit of God, and the might of God was seen because they prayed. So you request and a response, and then you see the result in verse number 33, again, with great power, gave the apostles witness. There was power. There was, in verse 33, preaching. With also grace, there was great peace. There was even, in the next few verses, I wrote down a great passion. Say, what do you mean a passion? They went and sold their land just to help the church to be able to continue what's going on. There were sacrifices being made. It all started because they got together and prayed. You know, if we don't pray, we're not going to see the results. The Bible makes a promise: we sow in tears, we can reap in joy. I know it's a hard thing, but I just ask you to consider this. Are we praying for souls to be saved? There's a list on our prayer list. Pray for Joey, pray for Cassie and Dave and Pat and Shelley, Jerry and Patty, Josh and Darren and Randy and Jaden, Josh and Debbie York family. Pray for them every day. Call their names out to God. One of the reasons we get so hard-hearted and we're not evangelistic like we should is because we're not praying. Pray for souls. Also, you see this, but look over in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse 1 and 2, we're going to see the people we should pray for. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 and 2, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. Verse 2, for kings, for all that are in authority. That's why we pray for our president. No matter who it is, we pray for them. Pray for all those in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So you see here, there's the people we should pray for. Then you see the pleasing of that prayer in verse number 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So why should I pray? Well, for one, if nothing else, there's a lot of reasons. But if for nothing else, it pleases God. Amen. You guys are so quiet tonight. I just want to run around and get you excited or something. I don't know, right? All right? Is that not what it says? This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. It pleases Him. For no other reason, we pray for all men because it pleases God. So you see the people and you see the pleasing and then you see the pursuit in verse number 4. Why are we praying for all these men? Why are we praying for all these people? Who will, that's the who is the Lord Jesus there in verse number 3, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. We're praying and we are to be praying for all these people because it pleases God who is pursuing that they all get saved. Amen. If you've got a child, if you've got a parent, if you've got a grandma, if you have a grandchild, if you have co-workers, uncles, aunts, friends, neighbors that aren't saved, pray for them. We ought to be praying for our president and his salvation. Praying for the vice president and their salvation. Pray for our governor. Pray for our congressmen. Pray for our senators. Pray right here in Goshen for our trustees and pray for all those that are in authority. Pray that they be saved. But pray for people. So you see, there are people, the pleasing and the pursuit of our prayer. And you don't have to turn here, but James chapter number 4, you see a principle. James chapter 4, verse number 2 says, ye have not because ye ask not. You know, going into camp, I pray. I never want our camp to just be a week of time filling. I pray that the Lord speaks to hearts. We had, in the last few years at camp, we've seen several teenagers get saved. In our kids' crusade, we spent extra time in prayer asking God to save souls. You know what? He did. So who are we praying for now? Let's start praying for people. You say, we haven't seen anybody saved in the last few weeks. Well, who have you prayed for? You have not. Because you asked not. Did you spend time last week or this week praying that God will save a soul Sunday? We have not because we asked not. Brother Slee always said this when I was traveling around with him and working with him, and he was teaching me things, and I was just a young guy, but he said this, he learned it at college, and you've heard him preach it. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. So what am I praying for? We're praying for souls. We're praying for wisdom. We're praying for power. We're praying for boldness. We're praying for fruit. Keep a list. Pray for these things. But there must be the power of prayer. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, number 5. This power, the power of God is seen again in the Word of God, in the Gospel, in the Holy Spirit, and in prayer. And again, we cannot win souls without the power of God working in our life. And the fifth power is the power of proclamation. Power of preaching. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. If we want the power of God in our evangelism, we must open our mouth and share Jesus. We must preach Jesus. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Again, there's this thing going, you know, that's for years been kind of promoted among some called lifestyle evangelism. And what lifestyle evangelism is this? And by the way, we don't believe in it. All right, it means this. You don't have to preach the gospel. You just live a life and people will ask you about it. That may happen, but that is a rare exception. And that's not what Jesus told us to do. Now, we are to be a peculiar people, and our testimony means something, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But we have to open our mouth and preach Jesus. There must be some, if you will, some confrontation. And by confrontation, I don't mean that we're in anybody's face, and we're definitely not judgmental, and we're not, you know, trying to tear other people down and being obstinate. But what confrontation means is that we have to be direct with people. We're going to need to speak up to people. We're going to have to be personal with people. You know, and ask them what they believe. Ask them if they know they're going to heaven. Last night, we didn't see anybody get saved last night, to my knowledge. We went out visiting last night in Blanchester, and we were just knocking on doors, a group from us from church. And I got back on a bus, and I told everybody, I was just like, I was very pleased. People were very receptive. And no one made decisions. They were kind. They took the word of God, and people said they didn't go to church. People said they didn't know they were saved. And they didn't necessarily want to talk about that last night, but I was able to share with them that read that track. It has information in it. I said, I'll be glad to meet with you again. Give me a call. And I told one guy, he's an older gentleman, I said, I will meet you, buy you coffee, and we can sit down and discuss these things. And he said, well, you didn't see anybody saved. But we got to open our mouth and tell people. We got to build relationships with people and start the ball rolling and get people thinking about these things. And notice, by the way, what we're preaching, the power of God is not the preaching of religion. It's not even the promoting of church. I love our church. But when we go out and we talk to strangers who don't know the Lord, I may mention our church, but I'm not focusing on this church. And don't take that wrong. They don't need church until they need Jesus. You know, I'm not going to get in conversations over what Bible to use. I'm not going to get in conversations about modesty and tithing. That's not what's going to change hearts. The power of God is the preaching of the cross. It is preaching Jesus. Jesus said these words in John chapter number 12, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. If we want the power of God in our evangelism, we've got to preach Jesus. You can go up to every door in this community and say, "I'd like to invite you to our church." And I'm not saying that's a terrible thing. But then don't get frustrated if we're not seeing souls saved. We have to preach Jesus. Everybody understand what I'm trying to say? I love telling people about our church. I love leaving a hand in the track. But it's the word of God and the message of the cross that people need. So we got to preach Jesus. There's power in the preaching of the cross. Next, number 6, in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Turn to the right. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and in verse number 8. 1 Thessalonians 1 and in verse number 8 says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." Your faith to Godward is spread abroad. Keeping that in mind, go back to Acts chapter number 6. You guys want you to see these things, right? Acts chapter number 6, verse number 8. In Acts chapter 6 and in verse number 8. The Bible says this in Acts 6 and in verse number 8. It says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain synagogues, and they fought against that. But with power, full of faith." The fifth or the sixth power we need for the power of God to work in our life is the power of faith. Faith and power go hand in hand. When we go out, now again, people need faith to be saved, for by grace are you saved through faith. That faith is required. But we need faith. We need to believe that we're not wasting our time. We need to believe that the gospel works. We need to believe that people can be saved. Can I tell you what faith is? A lot of people get the wrong idea of faith. Faith is not walking over some ledge and hoping God catches you. That's not faith. Faith is not walking into the unknown and believing that everything's going to just work out fine. That's not faith. Faith is believing the word of God. God's not asking us to walk off a ledge. God's asking us to believe him. To believe when someone gets saved, how did they get saved? They had faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? The word of God. And that faith, they believed what the Bible says. Faith. I'm saved because I have faith in what the Lord said about that I'm a sinner. I was lost. I was on my way to hell. But Jesus died for my sins. He paid for my sins. He conquered sin by rising from the dead. And my faith in what he said saved me. Faith. We have to believe that God's word is true. We need to seek souls with faith. We need to tell other people about Jesus with faith. We got to believe. You know, I thank the Lord, you know, not everybody can go out, totally understand that, and soul winning, I'll say this again here in a minute, Being a soul winner is not an hour a week or 2 hours a week. It's a life. It's just what we do. We don't, you know, take time out of our life to go soul winning. Our life is about soul winning. I mean, it's what we should always be aware of. But we do meet as a church. We go out at times, all right? And I know not everybody can come. Some didn't come last night because they don't think it works. Right? You're all aware of me. I don't know if we believe it worked. You're all staring at me. But if you believed it, there'd be more. A lot of us, we went out and we got on a bus last night. Did we believe? Do we have faith? I'm just trying to give you things to think about. We should believe it. And again, I'm not giving a guilt trip. Not everybody can go. We got to work. We got lives. We have these things we have to do. But if you've not told anybody about the Lord in the last few weeks and months, your faith is lacking. Rough crowd tonight. That's okay. I'm going to Iowa. All right? Faith. We believe it. Matt sitting back there, he sent me this little clip. I watched it. I didn't get to reply to you. That was a good clip. This preacher got up, and he had a bowl with a goldfish in it, and everybody was just staring at him. He reached in there and grabbed a goldfish and laid it on the pulpit. That fish was like flapping around. Everybody's like, he just sat there and watched it. Finally, that it kept flapping, and it just sat there in its mouth, and its gills were like, and people started getting restless in the crowd, like, what are you doing? You see, some of you are more concerned about this goldfish than you've been about souls. Some of you just got a whole lot more stirred up about a goldfish because you've not been on visitation. Faith. We believe it. I mean, I wouldn't want my worst enemy to go to hell. Amen. There's people that are lost. The gospel is what saves them. Amen. We have it. Amen. So when have we shared it? It takes faith. Number seven, by the way, whatsoever is not of faith is what? That's something to think about, isn't it? Number seven, there must be the power of a yielded life. Look over in Philippians chapter number 3. The power of a yielded life. Philippians chapter number 3 in verse number 7. Philippians 3, verse number 7. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Paul is saying here in Philippians that whatever I had to give up is worth it, that I may know the power of God in my life. The seventh power that we need is the power of a yielded life. Lord, whatever you need from me, remember those in Acts where we started tonight? When people prayed for boldness, and then the place was shaken, and great power was upon them. And then remember what some did? They went and sold their land. I mean, huge sacrifices. Because this is important. The power of a yielded life. Again, soul winning is not a once-a-week thing. It should be our life. But here's the, if you want to get a phrase underneath this, we must be committed to the cause. Committed to the cause. Electrician walked in here Saturday morning, and we talked to that electrician Saturday morning. He's lost. He could have walked out of here and just been a pure talking business. but he was lost. And he didn't get saved, but I'm thankful that two preachers didn't let him walk out the door without telling him about Jesus. And I'm not patting ourselves on the back. I'm just saying there's been plenty I've let walk by. What if it offends him? You know, I just got to, what if he don't like me? You got to let go of some things. Lord, whatever it takes. A lot of times we don't have all these other things going on, and the prayers and the faith and the preaching, and because we're so busy with everything else. We like our favorite shows, we like our sports, and there's nothing wrong with everything in its own place. But our life, if it's our cause and soul winning, it's going to take some surrender. The greatest soul winner I've ever seen in my life, and I still say this, was my grandfather. I never went with him. And you have to understand, from the time that I was able to cast a fishing pole, almost every Tuesday of every summer I went fishing with my grandpa. We never went out that he did not tell somebody about the Lord. And I think I've told you this before by his testimony and what he shared with me, that, you know, when his son, my Uncle Terrell's been here to preach often, when he got diagnosed with polio, scary time for their family. He dropped my mom and my uncle and my grandma off at the house, and he went to church, and he got down in his office and he started praying and begging and crying out to God for God to spare his son. He said God got a hold of his heart that day as he was praying with this simple thought. God spoke to him and said, when was the last time you prayed over a soul like this? And I can tell you one of the reasons why he was such a powerful soul winner is because I prayed with him often, and he never prayed without tearing up and praying for people to be saved. It was his life. It wasn't something he did once in a while. It's how he lived. That was a yielded life. And if we're going to have the power of God in our life, that we may know the power of the resurrection, we may have to count some things as lost, but if that's what it takes. Number 8, we need the power of a good testimony. The power of a good testimony. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter number 3. The power of a good testimony. The book of Revelation talks about the enemy. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Here in 1 Peter chapter number 3, look at verse number 1. It mentions about wives who have lost husbands or husbands that aren't obedient to the things of God. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Go down to verse number 15. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Number 8, there needs to be the power of a good testimony. Power of a good testimony. Here's a sobering thought, that the lost will often judge the reality of salvation on the basis of our life. I'll repeat that. That the lost will often judge the reality of salvation on the basis of our life. If at 3987 Westboro Road in Blanchester, Ohio, my neighbors know me as being angry, cursing, drinking, carousing, they're not going to care what I say about Christ. And there don't have to be all those things. If I walk out to the car ever so often, my neighbors are sitting on their porch and I use God's name in vain and say blasphemous things, and then I go to try to tell them about God. Remember one time this teenage mom came up and asked my dad and said, is it okay if my son goes to the prom? My dad said, no. If he's a child of God, that music, and they shouldn't have their hands all over each other in that atmosphere, they shouldn't go. And the lady said, Well, my son wants to be a testimony for the Lord and share the gospel with those people there. He said, there ain't nobody in the world you're going to stand on a dance floor with your bodies pressed together, that's going to listen to the gospel presentation. That's true. Our testimony matters. If we have an ungodly testimony, if we don't have a sanctified life, those that know us and we try to witness to, they'd never take that seriously. The power of God, if we want our life, it needs to back up the way we live. Obviously, we already talked about we don't have to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. But the fact is this, that if we're endeavoring to win souls, it motivates holy living. And then we need to share our testimony. So don't ruin it, but then share what God's done for you. And keep it simple. We don't want to focus on ourselves. You know, don't embellish things, you know. Just tell them the truth, what happened. See, just share what I was, what I did, and who I am now. And tell people about the Lord. Remember the woman at the well? She ran back into town and told people, he knew what I was, this is what I did, and look who I am now. Come meet a man. So it's the power of a testimony. Then lastly, there's the power of the church. You don't have to turn there. You probably know the verse in Matthew chapter 16. There's a promise that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the Lord's church. That's a great promise, amen? And again, for whatever reason in my young mind growing up, I just always felt like the devil's going to beat us, but we're going to survive. But that is not what that verse is saying. Gates never attacked anybody. Right? The gates of hell, they're on the defense. And they can't stop us with the power of God. Amen. The gates of hell don't stand a chance. We got the ball. We're moving down the field. And they can't stop that when the power of God, and more specifically, God gave the commission to the church. And I'll close with this. That means this. The power of God. Where does it come from? The Word of God. We come to church to learn the Word of God. The power of God, where does it come from? The gospel. We come to church to rejoice and hear the gospel and to go and learn how to share the gospel. So we all have to learn the Bible. We all have to know the gospel. We all come to church to learn how to live a life that the Holy Spirit can work through us. We all come to church to spend time in prayer together. We all go to church and we preach the truth and we go out and take opportunities in different ways to preach the gospel. We come to church to build our faith. We come to church to learn about a yielded life and having a good testimony. But the fact is this, God gave the commission to the church, not an individual. And if we want the power of God to work in its fullest, simple statement, we're done. We got to do this together. Together. If we want to see God do all that God can do, we got to be in this together. We all should be growing in the things of God. We all need to be praying. Can you imagine? Imagine. Sunday night, I don't know, we'll have 120, 130 people. 130 people all with a heart that says, God, teach me your word. God, I want to share the gospel this week. May the Holy Spirit have free reign in my life. I'm going to live a pure life, a sanctified life. We're going to pray. We're going to have faith. We're going to go and share it. That's how 120 people in the book of Acts turned the world upside down, which is about what we'll have Sunday night. God's still God. God's power is not limited now. All these opportunities are still there for us. We need the power of God in our lives.